Alright, good morning everyone. Today I'm going to be teaching on who do you follow? And it's a big deal. Let's go to Gospel of John. This is interesting verse. Many years ago, I've been with a few different ministries in my life. When I was a little kid, I was with a Lutheran church. And then our family quit going to the Lutheran church because they had some issues. And the pastor ended up in an insane asylum with alcoholism. And so anyway, years later, I was in, I've been in several different ministries. I was involved with one ministry for a while. And we were putting together a foundational class. And I had the privilege of teaching part of the foundational class. And I went to this verse here. And in the middle of using this verse, one of the other ministers said, "Oh, you can't use that verse in this part of the class because so-and-so taught this," and they wouldn't let me put this in there. So, but anyway, now if you're not part of a ministry, then you don't have any, you're just walking with God. You don't have anybody telling what you can do and can't do. You just go to the Father. Say, "Father, what should I do?" He says, "Oh, why don't you teach this? This would be good." So, verse 63 in John chapter 6, verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." And again, I like to make fun of King James. I guess if you're going to be run a race, you use the Spirit so you can be faster and win the race. No. "Quickeneth" is old English. It means makes alive. It doesn't mean you're faster. I guess if you go, well, what's that thing over here where they have the drag races, Diane? Vandermeer Speedway. So I guess if you're spiritual, you win your drag race because your car will go faster. No, it doesn't work that way.
Can you put it in the fuel?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? More horsepower. More spirit power. No, it's the Spirit that makes you alive. The flesh, here's the part they were uncomfortable with me teaching. "The flesh profiteth nothing." Well, wait a minute. It says in the Old Testament, we're awesomely and wonderfully made, and all these things. And, the human body is an amazing piece of engineering. But it's going to eventually fail. I mean, Diane and I are following this book, The Plant Paradox, trying to figure out how to slow down our aging and eke a few more years out before our bodies finally wear out. But because of Adam, our bodies wear out. Even Methuselah didn't even make it to 1,000 years. But the Spirit lasts forever. Spirit has eternal life. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And so we can't focus on the flesh. We don't win. Like we heard in Manifestations about how we're more than conquerors and God with us will win and we don't need fear. Well, we don't do that because our flesh is so good. We didn't get eternal life because our flesh was... It was great. We had John and Yvonne McChesney came by and visited us. Was it 2 weeks ago? I don't know. They came by and they were coming through town. They came by and visited us. And we hung out for... It must have been 4 hours. Mm-hmm. We just talked the word for 4 hours. We had a blast. And John made this wonderful statement. He said, "It's like we won the lottery and we didn't even buy a ticket." And that's really what Christianity is, because Jesus Christ paid the price. We didn't pay the price for the ticket. Jesus Christ paid the price. And all we got to do is take it. Say this piece of paper is the lottery ticket. I could give it to you. You could say, "Oh, I don't believe it." And you could just throw it back. I mean, that can't be real. That can't be worth countless millions, and you can just walk away and not accept it. But a few of us have decided, well, you know what? The Spirit does make us alive. It does profit. It is the words of life. I'm going to take that and go with it. And, oh my God, I can win. We can heal the sick, raise the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul in the first century, Jesus Christ, Paul, Peter, John, all these great men of God, that wrote these wonderful... They never set up a big non-profit corporation with trustees and so forth. And you don't need that to walk with God. All that stuff is just for tax laws. And then the government uses it to shut down the freedom of speech of some religious organization so they can't talk about politics or something. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. See, they were all looking at the flesh. They still thought the flesh, there was profit in the flesh. I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it. Even now you can't bear it. Ye are yet carnal. Whereas is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one says, I'm of Paul. Another says, I'm Apollos. Are ye not carnal? See, Jesus Christ didn't die so we could be of Paul or of Apollos or of Peter or even of Jesus Christ. We follow God. We have direct access to the Father. That's what he died for. That's what he came for. That was the spirit that quickens us, makes us alive. That's what he came for. For who is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by ye whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything or he that watereth anything. Their flesh is just flesh. But God gives the increase. Now he that planteth and watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Yeah, we were talking about that ministry where you have to submit your teaching in writing and beforehand to give the teaching. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody had the balls to walk up to the podium and say, this is my prepared, approved teaching, wad it up, throw it out in the audience, and then just start speaking from the Spirit of God? Wouldn't that just be amazing to shake that dead, spiritually dead ministry up? I mean, they'd probably get them off the stage in a few minutes, but that would just, I would just love to see something like that. I don't know if they have anybody left that has some spiritual balls to do that, but here's some men that had some spiritual balls to do something like that. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. I kind of love King James. We're the more. We're the more. See, all you guys are more. Both men and multitudes, both men and women. Insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came a great multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, which were vexed, and they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, some of them. No, everyone. Oh my God, what an amazing time. See, the Word of God is still the same today. You can get the same results. But it was amazing. They're doing this stuff. And you'd think the religious leaders would just go, oh my God, it's a revival. People are getting delivered. People are getting healed. It's a revival of God's word. Look at, we've been working with this guy. He's been coming. He was in a wheelchair. He had all these health problems for all these. He finally got delivered. Let's rejoice in God. No. It's amazing. Most of the resistance against the genuine move of God's word comes from religious leaders and religious organizations. Religious spirits are the meanest ones out there, and they're the ones that fight the hardest against the truth. And they're speaking from their seats of religious power when they're trying to always keep their people, hold them down, keep them suppressed. Oh, you can't teach that verse there. No, we don't want you teaching that one. Somebody might get delivered there. Don't do that.
Oh, you can't really have a direct relationship with God.
Yeah, you gotta go
someone else.
Yeah, you gotta go through your priest or your minister or your pastor. So, verse 17. Then, actually in the text, it's, but the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with joy. No? Indignation. They were mad. They were indignant. They were pissed Because what didn't come out of their group, it didn't have their sanction. Because if you read back previously, they were already commanded previously that they weren't supposed to teach the name of Jesus, because these are the guys that had him put to death. These are the guys that Jesus Christ said, "You're of your father, the devil." You know, people think Jesus Christ was always nice. What was it we used to date years ago? It was, I think, in the 90s or early 2000s. It was that popular, "What would Jesus," WWJD, "What would Jesus do?" Well, if you're going to walk that way, then kicking over tables and running people out of the church building is not out of the question, you know? And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in prison. But the angel of the Lord came by night and opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, just go back home and, you know, and hide out, you know, don't speak this, because every time you do, you get in trouble. You know, we got to be loving, and as Christians, we really need to be loving, and we really shouldn't say anything that upsets other Christians.
And we should compromise.
We should all just get along. And, you know, if us teaching the resurrection of Jesus is upsetting other believers, then maybe we need to just back down from that a little bit, and we won't mention Christ. We'll just say God instead of Christ, because the word Christ and Jesus just upsets people, and we won't say that, and we won't mention the resurrection. We'll kind of quit healing, you know, because that's upsetting the Sadducees. They were just so sad, you see. And we're just making them more sad. And that's not loving, that we're making them more sad. It's just not good. No, he said, go, stand and speak. He said, basically, when they were trying to clamp down on it, they said, basically, double down. It's like when you go to Vegas and you're playing blackjack and you put $10 and you won your hand. And you're going to let it ride. And I'm going to, okay, it's going to be $20 on the next one. There's going to be $40 on the whatever, right? Because we're not in the casino. You're set up to lose because it's run by people that love money, and eventually you'll lose. You know, you can't win it. You can win in the short term, but eventually you'll lose. But with God, we're not gambling. We're walking on the Word. It ain't a gamble. It's a sure thing. And when they heard that, they entered in the temple early in the morning, and the high priest came and said, "Wait a minute. We locked these guys up in jail, and they're here at the temple before I even got here, and they're teaching Jesus again, and the resurrection and deliverance, and what the heck? What can't we stop these guys? What kind of stupid jailers we got?" Verse 22, but when the officers came, you know, verse 23, saying, "The prison we truly found shut in safety," and, you know, they basically an angel let them out. We don't know how it happened. Verse 27, and they brought them in, and they set them before the council, and the high priest asked, saying, "Did we not straitly command that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And Peter said with the other apostles, "We ought to obey God rather than men." You know, and it's religion's always going to try and slow you down. And if you're with a church that's impeding your walk with God, then don't let the door hit you in the backside on the way out. I remember back in the late 90s, I was talking to this one young woman, and she wasn't actually that young, but a nice woman. And she was, she'd been in the Way Ministry, and the Way Ministry had sort of mistreated her, and her husband were Way Corps, and they not only dropped them from the Corps, they kicked them out of the Way. And before they were in the Way, they were in this other church that had abused them, and they were just all upset, and and so I came talking about, I was with ministry such and such, and saying, "Well, you know, I'm real happy, and this ministry's done a lot for me." And she says, "Well, what guarantee do you have that ministry won't go bad?" And I said, "I have absolutely no guarantee at all, because it's filled with people and people make mistakes. But I do have one guarantee: if they ever go bad, I'll be the first one out. And I'm not with that ministry anymore." You know, we obey God rather than men. And that's one of the reasons why we've never set up a nonprofit corporation. Because I've thought about it, you know, and I thought we could have made a lot of money. We could have had a lot more followers. There was people that I felt in this city that should have been ordained, that we could have ordained, and there was some amazing things we could have done. But I just felt it wasn't right to set up a nonprofit corporation, and it was I just didn't want to go there because you end up making decisions what's best for this corporation.
Business, yeah.
It becomes a business. And then, well, the business needs to do this. We got employees. We got to take care of our people. We got these so and so is our secretary. So and so is our treasurer. So and so we got it. This, and we just decided never to go there. We just decided we're going to do it the way they did in the first century. We're just going to teach the word. We're just going to be an unguided missile for God. And we're just going to be get crazy, crazy like John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness. And it was just, we decided that was the better way to go. Because God meets our needs. We have enough money. We're not rich. You know, we don't have $1 million in our 401k. Not even close. You know, I don't have a Porsche in my garage. You know, I got some old shoes that are a little worn. Actually, I got a new pair. I need to bring them out. I should have worn them today. So these are a little beat up. But anyway, God meets our needs. Let's go to the next scripture here. 2 Corinthians. Oh, chapter 5. Remember, we're ambassadors. Here's a verse we've all heard before. But I'm going to tie this back into that verse that says, the flesh profiteth nothing. So we're going to start in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth, because thus we judge that if one died for all were dead. And he that died for all, they that live should not live henceforth to themselves, but live unto him that died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Why do we not know people after the flesh? Well, because the flesh profiteth nothing. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. See, we don't even follow Christ. Christ is now his flesh. We covered this in previous fellowships, but his flesh is gone. The body and soul is gone. What's left is the spirit. And that's someday that'll be our lives. What'll be left is the spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See, that's the end goal, is to be reconciled to God. And has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. I made a statement at one of my written teachings on my website. I've got made the statement, there's only one true ministry. And we go, what? What? Because, you know, there's a lot of groups. The Catholics say they're the one true church. Everybody else is a counterfeit. And there's other people, they may not say they're the one. We're the only ministry that has the truth. There's other ministries, but we're the only ones that have, you know. No, there's only one true ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. If you're walking with God and reconciling people to God, that's the one true ministry. And any Christian can do it. You can do it and be a Catholic. It might be a little harder, but you can still do it. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that same ministry that Christ operated, he's committed unto us with the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, like I said before, we won the lottery and we didn't even buy the ticket. Amazing.